Coming to you from the campus of Western University in London, Ontario, with call letters CHRW, this is 94.9 FM Radio Western.
Free London, me John the Night Bat, carrying you through this early October Monday morning. We go on another musical ride, and first up is, after 4.5 years, 240 weeks, I am back in the studio live. After COVID, folks were able to do live shows again, but only until 6 p.m. and maybe a few evening shows. But the late night shows and the all night shows, like I like to do, had to wait for the university to install card locks on the studio so that we could come in and do our all night shows. So I am back in the studio. And I chose to go back to my roots and go into the record library and pick a bunch of records. But before that, as I have been doing for the past 240 weeks, I'll open the show with the Sunday service from St. James Westminster Anglican Church. A little bit of a story there, but on tonight's show, I'll be able to play yesterday's Sunday service because it's all done. But when I started streaming them, I couldn't have them finished and sent to the radio station. So you were getting last week's Sunday service. And as I've said many times, I don't really consider these religious programming, but community programming. The very last show that I did here in March of 2020, I opened my show with the very first Sunday service that I had recorded at St. James. Their music director, Stephen Hollowitz, whom I'd recorded a number of times in Celtic Shift and Enchanté, and his son Adam Corrigan Hollowitz's little theater troupe, the Alviga Root Theater, and his Manor Park Evening Post. I'd been recording them for a couple of years, and so Stephen Hollowitz got on the phone and asked me if I could audio produce their Sunday service for them. So that's what I did. And the very next week after that last show here at the studio, the UCC got closed. Our station manager, Timothy Glasgow, and our program director at the time, Zara, got things set up so that we could send our shows over the internet and they could slot them in and we could still do our shows maybe a few days before, but still it worked out, as Timothy Glasgow, our station manager, says. Over half of our shows actually survived the pandemic, and that's pretty amazing. So that worked out really good. But without further ado, the October 6th Sunday service at St. James Westminster Anglican Church in Wortley Village. You're listening to CHRW Radio Western 94.9 on your FM dial, radiowestern.ca for a live stream everywhere else on the planet, and this show's Facebook page for pre-show posts and post-show podcasts is simply facebook.com/radiofreelondon.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Please be seated. I know we have one announcement, so Benjamin, would you like to come up and let us know what's going on?
I'm Benjamin Vasquez. I'm one of the students living over at Hillary House. We are going to be doing a book study starting on the 23rd of October, so it's still several weeks off, looking at church history. It's going to be every Wednesday starting on the 23rd and extending through till, I want to say, the fourth Wednesday in January into the new year. Come talk to me after the service if you want details. We would love to have any or all of you there.
The other announcement that I have is I know that next week is Thanksgiving, and there's been a request for gourds and other things to decorate, and I believe decoration is happening on Saturday earlier in the morning. 9:30, did we say? I'm getting a nod for 9:30. So it would be wonderful to have an abundance of blessing for the Thanksgiving service. So with that, let us take a moment to center ourselves in this space and this time and recognize that we're approaching the throne of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open,
all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Let us the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you, and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Join us together in the unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may become a holy temple, acceptable to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reading from Holy Scripture.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory, and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world, about which we are speaking, to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. The word of the Lord.
Oh, Lord, our Lord, throughout the earth, name, and glorious to wear unseen hands your majesty proclaim. On infant lips, in children's song, a strong defense you raise to counter enemy and threat and foil the rebel's ways.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they were no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, aren't these readings fun? Year B has a lot of great readings in it. This is a hard one. This is a hard saying of Jesus. My clergy Facebook groups have been filled with complaining about what am I supposed to do with this? And it's true, isn't it? There are people in this congregation that are on their second marriages, maybe third. I'm not here to judge. I myself am a child of divorce. And hearing Jesus' message this morning cuts like a knife. It sticks in you. And it says, have I fallen short? Have I broken the faith of God? Have I not lived up to this ideal that Jesus set? Am I not worthy? I think I want to tackle this in two ways. The first is technical, and the second relies on a bit of grace. Our Lutheran brothers and sisters have a way of reading scripture that I really appreciate on Sundays like this. And it's that within all passages of scripture, there is two levels of scripture that we must read. One is the law, the technical, the surface value. And the second is grace, looking at where God's grace is present in all the texts. So if we're going to deal with this, let's work with it on the technical level first. The first line in our gospel reading, that the Pharisees came to test Jesus. Divorce has always been a difficult subject, whether now or 2,000 years ago or in prehistory. We recognize fundamentally as part of the human condition that some relationships are broken. Some are not life-giving, and some should end. But we also recognize the pain and the suffering that comes when those relationships end. A few chapters earlier in the Gospel of Mark, John the Baptist got thrown in prison for telling Herodias that he shouldn't marry his brother's wife. The Pharisees knew this. Divorce is always a tricky subject. And so they tested Jesus. What was Jesus going to do if they brought it up? Was he going to say something that would get him in trouble with the political powers of the day? Would he say something that contradicts scripture and thus prove that he was not of God and not a prophet? They were trying to trap him. And so in a very specific context, Jesus gives his answer. What does Moses allow? Well, Moses allows divorce. But why? It's because the hardness of heart, because we recognize the fact that human relationships can be toxic, can break down, can be life-draining, and detrimental. But Jesus does something else. He highlights and holds up the ideal relationship that two become one. Anytime a relationship ends or a friendship ends or a family breaks down, there is never a clean slate. It is never wiped away and you start fresh. We all carry the blessings of previous relationships, friendships, and family, but we also all carry those wounds. As a family of God, we can never be truly separated or shut off or wiped clean from the things that we've gone through. They affect us in some real and powerful ways. But Jesus recognizes that there is something greater, that there is an ideal form of human relationship, an ideal kingdom of God. And with everything Jesus does, he points towards it. The moment of grace comes in that second part of the reading that seems totally unconnected. Little children coming. And people saying, oh no, don't send them. They're not the ones that are welcome. They don't have the intellectual capacity to understand this incredible thing that Jesus just said. But Jesus brings them, whether they understand what's happening or not, and blesses them. We are those little children. But we're also the ones that put things in our own ways that separate us from the love of God. If you heard this scripture reading this morning and felt convicted and felt uncomfortable, remember that you are the little child that is being brought to Jesus. That you are the one that is welcomed in his arms, who is sustained by the grace and love of God. Remember, not to put your own assumptions of what is right and good or what's acceptable as a stumbling block in front of yourself. This is a hard passage because law is a hard thing. It's unjust and unwielding. But there is always grace in the scripture as well. There is always the invitation that no matter what, God can take and transform the things that have occurred. It's not the first time, and it won't be the last, that I point to the cross at the high altar and say that that originally was a symbol of death and crucifixion and destruction and loss and pain. But God has taken that and has transformed it into a symbol of salvation. He can do the same thing with our pain. An analogy that I found very powerful was to imagine yourself as a clay jar, a large terracotta earthenware pot with a lid. If you have the light of Christ inside of you, it shines brightly. But if that pot, if that terracotta jar is perfect, flawless, it's hard to see where that light shines out. It's only in the broken chunks that are missing. It's only in the cracks and the parts that were put back together. It's only in the faults and the flaws and the failings that we see God's grace shine through into our lives. The message of Christianity is that God does things not just with the parts of us that are perfect, but especially with the parts of us that are broken. If we're willing to admit them, hand them over, and let them be used by God for a greater purpose. Our wounds and our shortcomings are the places that God's grace can truly make a difference in your world, but in the world around us as well. This is a hard reading. Not because we're convicted and we've fallen short, but because we're convicted and invited to be vulnerable and to let God work and move through us. Not saving face, not being perfect, but through the wounds that we bear. And we all bear many wounds. On this Sunday, let us be gentle with one another. And let us look for the grace of God shining out of people's broken lives. For with God, anything is possible. And through God, infinitely more than we can ask or imagine can be done. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. The congregation adopt a position of prayer for the prayers of the people.
Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Lord, your welcome embraces young and old, rich and poor. Give your church this hospitable heart, that all may find a place at your table. May your compassionate challenge set our standards. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Lord, devious men sought to entrap your son. Protect leaders from those who would distort their words, and your people from those who would lie and deceive. May your name be exalted on all the earth. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Lord, you make men and women in your image and enable us to share in your love together. Bless all who are married and sustain them in living their vows. As your love never lets us go, so may marriage be a source of delight and rejoicing. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Lord, you catch us when we fall and restore us. Hold tenderly all who have faced abuse, are injured by broken relationships. May your blessing rest upon all today and always. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Lord, we think of those who are sick and hurting. Today we pray especially for Anna, Eunice, Sylvia, Robert, Gavin, Catherine, Carolyn, Judy, Cherie, Don and Nancy, Lupe, Kevin and family, and William. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Lord, in life and death, we will praise you. We remember with love and thanksgiving all who have died. Gather to yourself all children of your kingdom. Today, we remember Joan, Lord. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that
our sins are forgiven by our Lord and our Lord, and our love of our heart, and our love of our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? After his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples, and he said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you." Let us pray. God of truth, receive all we offer you this day. Make us worthy servants, strong to follow in the pattern of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to be praised.
It is indeed right that we should praise you, gracious God, for you created all things. You formed us in your own image, male and female, you created us. when we turned away from you in sin, you did not cease to care for us, but opened a path of salvation for all people. You made a covenant with Israel, and through your servants Abraham and Sarah, gave the promise of a blessing to all nations. Through Moses, you led your people from bondage into freedom, and through the prophets, you renewed your promise of salvation. Therefore, with them and with all your saints who have served you in every age, we give thanks and raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. God, source of life and goodness, all creation rightly gives you praise. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He healed the sick, and ate and drank with outcasts and sinners. He opened the eyes of the blind and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and to those in need. In all things, he fulfilled your gracious will. On the night he freely gave himself to death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Gracious God, his perfect sacrifice destroys the power of sin and death. By raising him to life, you give us life forevermore. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Christ will come again.
announcing his death, proclaiming his resurrection, and looking for his coming again in glory, we offer you, Father, this bread and this cup. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who eat and drink at this table may be one body and one holy people, a living sacrifice in Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Creator of all, you gave us golden fields of wheat, whose many grains we have gathered and made into this one bread.
So may your church be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
friends gather. And we link with hand. Looking toward our Savior's cross.
We unite to pray.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may we who have been strengthened by this Eucharist remain in your steadfast love and show in our lives the saving mystery that we celebrate. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship has come to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
the baby gets and the last word. And there you have yesterday's Sunday service from St. James Westminster Anglican Church in Wortley Village. Stephen Hollowitz played the 3200 pipe pipe organ and the grand piano. He was accompanied by soloists Paul Grambo and the St. James Westminster Choir. During the summer, when the choir was on hiatus, I put a microphone about halfway down the church so that I could pick up the congregation singing along with the hymns, and always a few of the choir would come in and place themselves strategically so that they could seed the congregation. Now that the choir is back up on the altar part, I have noticed that the congregation is still singing along, and they're doing it on their own. So, as a community improvement project over the summer, I'd say that was a success. Stay tuned for the musical-themed part of Radio Free London.